City Talk 105.9 official podcasts online at citytalk.fm.
This is Talk to Trisha on City Talk 105.9.
Like most Premier League football clubs, Liverpool and Everton have community outreach teams that promote social inclusion and empowerment for disadvantaged or minority groups. Well, as you might expect, both clubs organise activities in schools and inner city leagues. But chances are you haven't heard that Everton now runs a mental health football league and an annual mental health football festival. The league started back in October and it's just winding up its first season. Rob Thomas is one of the organisers. Rob, welcome to City Talk.
Good evening, Trish.
First up, tell us about the work of Everton in the community for those of us who don't know.
Well, Everton in the community, a community-based organisation within Everton Football Club, and we reach right across the city and deliver different programmes through disabilities. We access schools. We also have this new programme, which has been up and running for the past 12 months, which is the mental health programme. So we're quite extensive in what we do. We have coaches that work in each area, and we overlap with one another with things that we do in the community. So we're far-reaching with the community and obviously the things that we offer, the coaching sessions, etc.
So why do that?
Why do it?
Yeah.
Well, it's to raise the profile of the club, to give people in disadvantaged areas and you know, with disabilities and you know, obviously with mental health issues, the opportunity to engage in football activities and to get involved in the local community. It's all about social inclusion, empowerment, people enjoying themselves, and obviously you know taking up a sport that's enjoyable as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Now, people must by now be aware of the link between exercise and mental well-being, and if they're not, I'm sure you're going to remind us. But what are the other positive effects of an activity like this one?
One of the major effects is that it gets people out and about. There's a lot of people with mental health issues who have become socially isolated. Yeah. And being involved in these footballing sessions that we run in the community, and obviously with the league that we've got up and running now, it gives people who've generally been isolated an opportunity to get out and be with their peers and enjoy playing football, enjoy getting fit, having a laugh, making friends. And hopefully, you know, other things that's been off, you know, going out together of an evening and organising activities themselves, which they weren't doing before being involved with this programme.
And I would have guessed also just the running around and the raising, you know, your endorphins and your blood levels gives you a buzz, doesn't it? It gives you a lift.
Well, it does, yeah. And we you know, all the time, you know, I'm getting reports back from the service users who access the programme. And for link workers who support the service users, this, you know, this feedback about what such a buzz it gives them. And obviously, you know, people are beginning to lose weight and, you know, packing in smoking, and they're starting to, you know, look at their healthy eating, and, you know, some of them are stopping drinking, and, you know, it's affecting the way that they sleep now, because a lot of people have disturbed sleep patterns. If they're on medication, they're not sleeping properly. They're sleeping in the afternoon, not sleeping at night. But with the exercise and obviously with the endorphin rush, you know, the, you know, after playing in a session, they get tired. If they play in a competitive game, they get tired. So by the time they get home, you know, they want to sit down, have something to eat, and then go to bed at a reasonable hour and have a good night's sleep.
What's your background then, Rob? How did you get involved in this?
My background is I've worked in mental health for the past 10 years, locally in social services and local government. And I started off in a small way with a small football group of my own that I organised, because there was a call for it there. And I could see the benefits there, you know, from that session that I run. And I had quite a few successes with that football group myself. And we eventually got involved in playing football in a competitive way in a league in Manchester, which has been up and running since 1995. And I could see the benefits that people were getting out of going, the camaraderie. You know, there was lads who'd lived in the Birkenhead area who'd never been out of Birkenhead in their lives. And these were adults. You know, some of them were socially isolated, that, you know, they didn't have friends and whatever. Yeah. And it gave them an opportunity to be part of a team and to go, you know, to go out of the area of Liverpool and go and play in a competitive league somewhere else. And I could and the benefits of that, there was one young lad who'd had a psychotic experience at the beginning of the year. He joined the football group And, you know, through the progress that he made accessing the football and the community programme, through me and social services, later on that year he was able to go back to university and get himself on a sports science degree. And
yeah, because people don't.
Strength to strength, but at the beginning of the year, he was, you know, he was on a ward in Clatterbridge.
Because that's the thing, people don't realise that a lot of people just have the one psychotic episode, but the depression and the fear and the isolation that sets in after that can cause so many more problems.
Well, it is, yeah. And, you know, there's more and more of this now, you know, with, you know, people suffering with, you know, depression, anxiety. You know, they're all debilitating things, you know. It's not just something that some people can get over. You know, some people end up going into a deeper depression. They go to their GP. They end up on medication, and it can be, you know, it can go into a spiral of events that, you know, ends up with that person being, you know, being isolated because they lose their friends. They, you know, they end up staying at home. They don't do the normal things that they want to do, and it can be very debilitating, mental illness. But
now, are other Premiership clubs operating schemes like yours?
Well, we are the first club to take this forward. You know, Everton and the community have been very far-reaching with this, you know, this programme and approaching the Premiership for the funding to run a mental health programme on Merseyside and in football. And it's the first time that it's been done on Merseyside, and it's the first time it's been done in the whole of the country through a Premiership community.
Wow, so are you an Everton fan then?
Am I an Everton fan? Oh, you put me on the spot there. I'm actually a Liverpool fan.
Do they know that?
They do know that, yeah.
And
I get sick on a regular basis from the coaches in here, but there's more than one Liverpool coach in the community. But the great thing is that they're a great bunch of coaches in here, and we all have a good banter about, you know, our allegiances to the various clubs. So, you know, it works both ways. Yeah. You know, and I'm bigger than being a Liverpool fan or an Everton fan, because this is about football in general, and it's about, you know, it's about helping people.
This is about the people. But how do you get how do you get people involved? What do they do?
Well, we work in conjunction. Well, our key partner in this is Merseycare and NHS Trust, and we work closely with Merseycare and another organisation called Mainstream, and we've developed a referral system for people to access the coaching sessions in the community. Now, this is a non-medical referral system. You know, it's a set of forms that gives us information about the person coming along, you know, just so we've got some brief history about, you know, their situation at home, and, you know, so we've got, if something went
some
wrong,
background.
You know, if we needed to phone somebody, we've got contact numbers, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's how the referral form works. So we have a referral through to me. The link workers who work for Merseycare, you know, refer people to me, and then they come along to the sessions, introduce themselves.
So if somebody's listening and they're interested in coming along, I'm guessing, is it only open to people with mental health issues?
It is, yeah. Yeah, the programme is specifically for mental health.
So what would they do?
I would suggest that they contact their GP. Obviously, if the first port of call is their GP, if they're within Merseycare, the NHS Trust is to contact their CPN, social worker. So that's the line that they should follow if they want to refer into these coaching sessions in the community.
Okay. Now, there's still stigma, isn't there, surrounding mental health as well? I know. I was talking to the CEOs of all the mind organisations the other day, and that's one of the things that comes up time and time again. What's been the reaction in the wider community to what you're doing?
Well, I think we've had mixed reactions from various people. But I think
from what to what? Can you give me an example?
I think, well, I'll just give you one example. In the early days when I started last year, I mean, this program's been up and running since April last year, and I was looking at various coaching sessions around the city, you know, venues, and I approached one venue in the area, and they asked me, you know, what were the risks involved with mental health service users accessing these sessions, and they seemed to have this idea that, yeah, we could be putting the public at risk,
and
it shocked me in a way, really.
Because it's one in four people at any time will have a mental health problem serious enough to go to their doctor. And they're actually thinking now it's higher than that. That's, so
I would suggest that it was higher than that. I think it's, there are a lot of people who actually don't go to the doctor.
Absolutely.
Who have got mental health issues. And at the end of the day, we can all have a mental health issue but not realise it.
Yes.
On a regular basis, people are suffering with anxiety. They suffer with depression. All these things.
They can be hiding it behind drink or drugs or something else.
Well, exactly, you're exactly right. A lot of, particularly with young males, if they've got, they're suffering with depression, if they feel anxious, low self-esteem, they'll hide that by drink or taking drugs, just to sort of get over it. And then that spirals out of control, and then they have a dual problem then. It's hard to see which angle it's coming from. Is it being induced by taking drugs? Is it being induced by drinking too much alcohol? Yeah. Or do they have a genuine, they have a genuine mental health issue that started off that way? And it's hard to see which way it comes from. So
but what did you do with the guys who said, is there a risk? How did you win them over, or did you just have to walk away?
I just spoke to them and said, look, there's probably more risk in having mainstream footballers in your sessions here than there is with any of my sessions. And I said, I've been running coaching sessions for the last 10 years in this field, and I've never had an incident yet. I said, but, I play football on my own time on a regular basis. And said, there's more incidents when I go and play football with my mates than any of the sessions that I deliver in the community.
And I guess they've learnt a lot just by watching you.
Yeah, definitely. And we've only had praise now, from the sessions that we deliver in the various parts of the city. We only have praise from the staff, and they can't do enough to help us, when these sessions are on. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay, just to remind listeners, you're listening to Talk to Tricia here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. I'm talking to Rob Thomas, who's an organiser working with Everton in the community. We're talking about a football. Is it a league, Carl? Or do you actually have a league?
Yes, we have a competitive league. It's finished now for this season. Mm. We've had our presentations recently at the ground, but I think we played 27 games. Mm-hmm. Also, we played each of the other teams. There's one league, one division at the moment of 10 teams, and you played the other 9 teams 3 times, so it gave you 27 games. About 5 or 6 per session at the Green Bank Academy.
Okay, let me just tell our listeners, Carl Olsonen has joined us. He's one of the players. Carl, how did you wind up becoming involved in the league?
Well, I've had some mental health issues since my 30s. I'm 52 now. And
you sound very young for 52. Must be the football.
Well, I think it's my 7 grandchildren that keep me feeling young.
7 grandchildren?
Well, I got married at 19, but that's another story. But basically, when I started feeling a bit better, and there are levels of care before you're out and about in the community again, and I guess it's the skills of your CPN or whatever when you're ready for the next step. But I was introduced to some lads from Hague Road in Waterloo who, I don't think they're nurses, but they're some sort of facilitators within the community. And we started having what I can only describe as a kickabout in a local activity centre. And I'm not just singing the praises because I'm sitting here in the office. I've played a lot of sport over the years, up to my 30s. And the likes of rugby union, cricket. Yeah. Soccer's always been my first game. I'll say that because I played rugby union and they call that rugby football. But basically, when I started with Everton in the community, it is light years away from that kickabout. The structured
is it
coaching.
Why?
Sorry?
Why?
Well, there's the structured coaching, the training that Rob gives, and I've been to some of the other sessions now at the other venues, and it's a sort of the singing. They're all singing from the same song sheet, basically.
Right.
So the core training's there that they're giving out.
So if somebody's listening and thinking, "Oh yeah," what would you say to other people, other men? I'm guessing it's mainly men.
Well, there
are
females in the program as well. I've seen at least one girl at Everton Park Sports Centre.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And she got involved with us, yeah.
So
and
if somebody's listening...
I'd only met her for the first time, and she really enjoyed herself. It's not where I normally go, but I have been, as I say, there are other days. So because I wanted more of the same activity, I started going to some of the other training sessions as well.
So what would you say to people listening, those who've had mental health problems or maybe have got a relative who've got mental health problems? What is it that being involved with the Everton in the community gives you? What does it do to your well-being, to the way you feel, to meeting new people, all of those things?
Well, from a personal point of view, I'll start with the medication. I'm on half the meds I was on.
Of course.
So since I joined this programme, in conjunction with the psychiatrist who's actually just sort of signed me off into the, just he doesn't want to see me anymore unless have a relapse. Hopefully I won't do that. But I'm on half the meds now. I look after an old, my dad's 80, I look after him. I've got lots more energy to look after him.
Right.
I've got things to look forward to. So I might say, I'm playing football on Friday, so I'll do this on the Thursday. Because
it gives
I know
you a structure,
I'm doing
does it?
Football on the Friday.
Yeah.
So you're getting the regime back without you even thinking about it.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people listening, we talked about stigma before, the stigma surrounding mental health. A lot of people listening, Carl, and I hate this word because I always say normal is a cycle on a washing machine. Mm. But a lot of people listening and they say, but that fella sounds normally sounds OK.
Well, I don't like the word normal either, Tricia.
No.
I mean, it's just one of those things. People use the word normal, but who is normal? What is
exactly.
normality?
Yeah.
What
happened to you?
People, sorry.
What happened to you? Because people are going to find it hard to believe that you, with their stigma, that you have had a mental health problem.
Well, without going into too much detail, I went to a public school till I was 18. I was married at 19. I've got 3 grown-up daughters. Lovely daughters, and I've got 7 grandchildren at the moment, with number 8 on the way. But when I got into my 30s, I just felt that sometimes life was too big for me.
Yeah.
I think my career had progressed. I had quite a good job. I was a shift manager in the finance industry, and I was chasing deadlines all the time, working shifts, coming home, worried that I had latchkey children, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for one thing or another, those triggers have been removed now, and I feel a lot better. And fortunately, I can talk about it, but to quote Star Wars for a second, I have seen the dark side, and I'd never want to go there again.
Yeah.
And this is keeping me, it's given me something to sort of look forward to. Because even at my age, I've actually progressed
back
to goalkeeper now. Because I'm too old to chase the children around, because they're all about 20 years my junior, you know. And you're not allowed to kick them indoors.
So if people are a bit hesitant who are listening, who've been in maybe a similar situation as you used to be, Carl, what would you say to them? Because that first step, I mean,
it is the hardest.
It is, isn't it?
Well, as I say, the structure that you go through, the CPNs, the community psychiatric nurses, who will for sure be involved with these people, they will have the next step in their recovery or possible recovery. And they can go, they don't have to go on their own. They're normally, I was taken to my first session, and the staff do take part as well. So the people who saw you maybe for your first time, for your first cup of coffee in general population or whatever, also come along and kick a ball about with you. And I consider the two lads more my friends now than support, but I know they are there for support if required, and that support structure is available. But to anybody who's listening, I'd say just give it a chance. Come along with your support worker and give it a go. Even if you're not brilliant at football, it's not about being brilliant at football.
Right.
It's about having a run round. I mean, it's great if you can kick the ball around, but you don't have to. I say, I'm 52 now. I hadn't probably played organised sport for a good 15 years. But I've got back into it, and there's a place for everybody, whatever ability you are.
And would you say also, Carl, because sometimes I'm saying I make no secret of the fact that I had a breakdown in 1994. And one of the things is you're really terrified, frightened of meeting new people. And Rob mentioned this about isolation. When you're that frightened, isn't it easier to talk about the ball and the game and the tactics and connect with people that way rather than have to look them in the eye?
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, you're moving around. You're not actually one-to-one, like you say, looking in someone's eye. We've all got our own sort of skeletons, but that's left at the door. And like you mentioned endorphins before, I mean, that's a natural chemical produced when you're running around, whether you're cycling, playing football, playing basketball, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that feel-good factor, without you even knowing it, does help.
Oh, absolutely.
And makes you want to come
back.
That's
probably why your medication's dropped.
That's right. You do get addicted to it, yeah.
Now, let me just go back to you, Rob. Are there plans to bring the team into a more mainstream setting? Are you thinking about playing against other teams yet?
Yeah, well, we actually organised a competition last year on World Mental Health Day, and we had partnership teams. The teams that were actually, or the partners that are involved with this programme, to actually put employees' teams in against our service user teams, which we'd set up in the league. So, you know, these are teams that play on a regular basis, as you say, in their so-called normal leagues, and playing against our service users, which had just started, you know, in their sessions and their
own. That must break down a lot of stigma.
It did, it did, and it was a fantastic day. And the great thing was, you know, we had, you know, at the end of the competition, we had two service user teams and two mainstream teams, or two partnership teams, competing against one another to get into the final. You know, as it was, the two mainstream teams got to the final. But, you know, it gave the lads who were playing in the mental health teams fantastic confidence boost and, you know, a great boost to their self-esteem to think that we're playing against teams that play in regular leagues around Liverpool, Merseyside. And we've competed with them on an equal basis and got results against them. And it really gave them a massive boost. And
that's what happens, because the season's coming to an end, so what happens in the summer? What do you do in the summer?
Well, what we're planning to do is, we're actually talking about it today, is organising another competition, a cup competition in June, the second week in June. And again, we'll be organising, you know, some of the partnership teams to play against the teams in this league. So we'll be having a joint competition. And also we're looking, over the longer period, about setting up an 11-a-side team, because we're getting requests from people accessing these sessions now to maybe set up some friendly games against, you know, organised 11-a-side teams, local teams. And there is a couple of leagues in Liverpool that, you know, that there might be a possibility of putting, you know, a team into at some future point. And that's what we're also looking at that as well.
Are you looking at kind of exporting this idea to other Premiership teams, she said, hopefully?
Well, yeah. We've actually, we had a delegation come to speak to us just a few months ago, just before Christmas, from Blackburn Rovers.
Brilliant.
From their community office there, their manager came along with one of his coaches, and they came to speak to us about our development programme with the mental health programme here, you know, and you know, how we get on with it, and, you know, did hear that we'd had some great success with it over the past year, and they were thinking along the same lines about, you know, offering one in there within the Blackburn area. And
Brilliant.
Since then, speaking to us, they were really impressed with what we were doing. And since then, they've gone back and they've put their own bid into the Premier League, and they've got their bid accepted.
Fantastic.
So they're going to be starting their own mental health, you know, sessions up in Blackburn through Blackburn Rovers. And, you know, this is a pilot scheme, and the Premiership are looking at it very closely. And if it is a big success, then they're wanting to roll it out to all the other community programmes across the Premier League.
Well, brilliant. I think people should get behind it. So where can people find out more if they want to get involved, if they want to support the scheme, if they want to come along and cheer for a team? What do they do?
Well, I think basically, you know, go through the organisations, Merseycare NHS and ourselves, you know, Everton in the community, you know, they can contact us here at Goodison. They can contact, you know, they can get contacts through Merseycare NHS, who do quite a lot of advertisements on our behalf. So, you know, the main two channels are through us, through Everton in the community at Goodison, and also through Merseycare Mainstream, again, another organisation we're involved with. You know, that's another organisation that they can find out know, a lot of what's going on. Richmond Fellowship, you know, they've got a team in this league. So, you know, any of the mental health organisations have information about what we're doing here.
Well, brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Rob.
Okay,
and Carl, good
Thank
luck.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Tricia, yeah.
That was Rob Thomas from Everton in the community, and Carl Olsen, one of the players. That's a fantastic idea. It's something that I'm hoping that all Premiership teams will take up. It's well known that exercise helps people lift their mood. It helps lift depression. And as you heard there from Carl, he's been able to drop his medication. That's got to be better than just handfuls of tablets, isn't it? You're listening to Talk to Tricia here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.